I'm gonna fill up my water. All
right, there we got it. You gonna go get some water?
Yep.
Okay. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna, while you fill up your water, I'm gonna run a little commercial here. Well, that didn't work at all because that was just the sounds of machinery. Please hold. I don't know how to. Here we go. Okay, maybe now there's a commercial that can happen.
Maybe not.
Oh, here it is.
To find out what people really thought about Ninja Sons, a new book from Peter Dirk, we decided to ask the only honest people we know. Kids.
Whoa, that's just hideous.
Okay.
Whoa.
I'm not laughing anymore.
They didn't put much effort and money into it. Oh, too much kicking. Oh my gosh, that looks scary.
You look very stupid, but they look ugly.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
What? So stupid.
We're samurais now, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know what? Kids are fucking dumb, okay? Go buy the book, Ninja Sons. Buy it. Fuck off.
Oh, that was a pretty stinky one.
Not gonna say it. Somebody should.
You farted.
Let's talk about two times.
Farted here. Let's talk about
bum one. We just started. Asking the questions. We're 1 minute and 40 seconds in. You farted.
Hey, you know, where are the bones? I feel like it's a commentary on the commercial product. I would add something to it. I think you're selling something from like what? You know, Blue Apron. You're basically like a brain snowman. Recipe, and somehow you're supposed to cook it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, Blue Apron. Here's a box of shit. Make it into food. Because, you know, the hardest part of cooking is...
is grocery shopping.
Getting the stuff. Yeah. I mean, I'm annoyed by that part of it.
Right.
I won't lie to you. Mm-hmm. And God knows I've fallen into some traps of, you know, thinking like, I bet I could make a good food by just dumping a bunch of shit in a crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. That has never worked for me.
That works on a very limited level for me, but I know what base ingredients I can use.
Well, here are some base ingredients I cannot use.
All right.
Chicken.
No.
Dry as shit. Rice. No good.
Rice does not work well
broccoli
in a crock pot.
Broccoli turns into butt flowers.
I've actually done a pretty good beef and broccoli in the crock pot.
I did a horrible one.
Mm.
It was one of the few foods that I've thrown out.
Like you just decided not to even try?
I ate some of it and I put it into like Tupperwares, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is when I've been trying to pay off my student loans.
Right.
I'm almost below $5,000.
Woo!
And so I was like choking it down thinking, every time you eat this, it's a victory for Uncle Sam or, you know, whoever.
Sally Mae.
Well,
yeah.
No, it's a victory against them. Mm-hmm. A victory against Uncle Sam.
A victory over Sally Mae.
Yeah, fuck her.
That whore.
But I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad.
You know, they really shortened her name from, you know, it's Sally Mae now, but it used to be Sally Mae, I have another cock in me.
Oh!
Take that.
Hold on.
Financial industry.
Hold on.
Financial entity partially owned by the government? I don't know, man. So we got to get the soundboard going.
Yeah, hang on.
The helpful snow
pewter. I'm hoping it could just be like, okay, here we go.
The helpful snow top. That's what we should call it.
Snow top? Oh, because it's a laptop.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what this is going to be.
So apparently...
but say it again, what you said, and we'll just hope for the best.
More like, Sally may have another dick in me. I don't think it's going to work.
I do not... right. This is just a guy listening in the AutoZone.
He's just listening.
Oh, there it goes. Okay, hang on.
All right, so we're trying to get this sound effect to work properly. This is great.
Here we go.
This is what you pay for.
No. This is what they pay for.
Right.
They don't pay shit. All right. One more time.
Right. More like, Styli may have another dick in me.
Still pretty bad.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, we're closer.
So I'm looking at this video that you found, and it's a vertical video.
Yeah. I don't know why this video... It's like 36 seconds, so I thought it would be... You know,
it would just get just right to the
quick,
chorus.
Yeah, just a guy going slam, you know.
Da, 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 da,
but it wasn't.
Boys be boys.
Now, like, we could watch the actual video, but it's like.
See, I was kind of hoping what was going to happen is it would be like a slam, da, 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 but it would be like a fight in the parking lot of a Home Depot.
Yeah.
Like the various videos that take place of fights inside of Walmart.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I assume you're very familiar with.
Not super. I mean, as a concept, though, I think I'm aware. I was just saying how, something about Black Friday, how I wanted to, like, I thought it would be funny because it seems like it's been too long since, you know, like, someone's been trampled.
Death,
yeah. And I was like, it would be fun for me if, like, they had a, you know, they have a video and it's like an old greeter man killed at the Walmart and it's just me, but I just run in and like punch him and just start stomping him while everyone else is kind of calmly.
Like everyone else is kind of calmly in. Filing around.
Yeah, something like that.
You just charge in and knock over the greeter man anyway.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I would like to have happen.
See, what I heard about a lot of those Black Friday riots and things, a lot of those were, you know, a big part of it was not the people in the, you know, the people in the front weren't crushing people. It was like the people behind them were, you know, were crushing the people in the front into the doors.
Oh, so they weren't like on the floor.
Right.
They were like,
like they were crushing them into the doors. But they basically pushed them into the doors.
So they got crushed while standing.
Yeah.
That seems less horrible somehow. But still horrible.
And it looks like Peter's found another soundboard.
Well, I found a soundboard website, but none of these seem to have, like, I mean, how is there a soundboard just for air horn?
It seems like, well, you could have...
There's, like, three horns. I mean...
Where it's like... Murr.
There's just not, you know, I want just, like, one that's, like, you know, your standard radio soundboard. Because that's the one where someone's going to go, slam, da-da-da, and then I'll be like, yes.
I buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, all that kind of shit. That's what I want. Legends?
You really want something. So,
Jerky Boys? Do you think they did that?
Probably.
Oh, they have the cat lady.
I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I am Poon Master Flex, but I don't listen to this show. Do I do
she doesn't
do,
not
does
very
not
much.
Listen to the show.
I don't think she's got a good chance at the
anyway.
What's the Snowball 2013 part 2? I don't know what her chances are.
Pretty slim.
Pretty slim. Almost as slim as my wiener. Well, there's a Shia LaBeouf soundboard.
All right. I have no headphones.
Do you want me to just play some things?
Sure, but
she can't love you like I do.
She can't love you like I do.
Well, that's exactly what it sounded all like. Right. There's nothing that sounds...
What about Samurai Warrior?
If you want to turn yourself into a proud Samurai Warrior,
no.
You need the Katana Samurai Sword. I can't find my money.
Gonna be sick.
I feel like I'm gonna be sick.
There's nothing here that's like...
Yeah.
You know. You did it. Like, slam.
Dun,
take that.
Dun, dun,
my father was a producer.
Wait, let me try... go with... this one right here.
This one?
Down. That one.
Okay.
So let me try it again to see if, it, just for the sake of comparison. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's more like Sally may have another dick in me.
This high quality plastic weapon is a Japanese longsword, which will look just perfect
doesn't
with your traditional
well.
Japanese hakama.
Not at all.
Mm.
I don't know what this is from. Anyway, so I had something pulled up today that I found today.
Right. It's the holiday season.
And what the great sort of construction grinding noises you were hearing. So here's what it is. Cards Against Humanity, which we know is the game of... Now, I am personally kind of not a fan of this game. And I will tell you why.
Okay.
So this is the game where, you know, you draw a card and it says, like, things that your grandmother shouldn't sleep with. And it's like, and then you have cards in your hand. Everyone plays a card. And, you know, you're like, a dildo, Hitler, an aborted fetus, you know. And well, then...
Okay. I mean, everyone knows that you always play the baby pig wearing little rubber booties.
Yeah. And so, like, and then you play the card. Everyone laughs because they're like, that's preposterous that grandma would sleep with a dildo. Mm-hmm. And then you move on.
Right.
But I get bored with this game because I feel like...
There's a little bit like if you play it enough times.
Yeah.
There's only so many. You're like, there's nothing that really surprises you anymore.
Yeah.
Like eventually it becomes like, oh, that's clever, but not really funny.
Well, and I think that for me, okay, so Cards Against Humanity definitely traffics in going too far.
Right.
Like that's kind of their thing. And, you know, I think that I have maybe a further too far than the average. Let's say.
Well, and I think there's also a milieu thing in that, like, the most fun I've had playing this game is with somebody who's never heard of it before.
Right. Yeah, like, I think that's the first where it's the most couple fun. Times you play it, it's pretty fun, and then it gets less fun.
Right, and it's sort of like it's still fun if you're playing with somebody who's never played it before.
Right.
Because they can still be shocked and appalled at something.
Right.
But when you have a group of people who are not easily shocked, which is probably your group.
Right.
And also people who've played it more than once.
Right.
There's not really much to do.
So the makers of this game, apparently, I didn't really know this, but they kind of have a tradition of Black Friday basically doing something stupid.
Totally worthless.
So like 1 year, for example, for Black Friday, they sold the game for like $10 more than it normally costs.
I thought it was like they doubled the price.
It was like a ridiculous price. And, you know, another year it was like for $5 you could buy a box of bullshit.
Right.
And they literally sent you a pile of shit in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was some other thing where like 1 year you could like pay and you got some kind of certificate that you would never, that, you know, you got a certificate saying that you were waiving any desire to actually get anything for your money or something.
Right. Like basically you got a no prize.
Yeah, kind of. So this year... They have done the... Now, that I'm into.
Okay.
So as a company, two thumbs up from Pete. As a game, not my favorite thing to do. Like when someone breaks out the Cards Against Humanity, I'm like, but that's irrelevant.
Right. Well, it's as a game for you, right? It's not bad in that...
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like games.
You don't like games, but you're not like... When you say... For you, like if someone breaks out the Cards Against Humanity, you're like, that's... Different than the sort of dust-shaped cloud in a Peter shape that usually happens when a game comes out.
Well, you know what's interesting is right before I got Cards Against Humanity, I got a game called The Game of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's the same concept, except instead of having cards, everyone writes in an answer. I played this game at my birthday 1 year because there were like 12 people, and it's great. So, okay, let's say you have a card and it's like... things that, I don't know, things you don't want to find in the toilet. And then everyone in the circle writes their answer. They pile them all up, and then they give them to the person who read the card out. Now, they don't know whose is whose, and it's their job to try and guess.
Right.
For each one they guess, they get a point, and if they guess incorrectly, the person who wrote it gets a point. And so what's fun about that is you can play it straight, which is to say, you know, things you don't want to see in the toilet and just put blood.
Right.
You can play it a little less straight, but still properly and say, you know, like...
dead baby.
A ghoulie. Yeah, I mean... And then you can do things we discovered like just, you know... For example, let's say a friend of the show, Alec, is reading the thing out loud.
Right.
You just write on your card, hello, my name's Alec. One time I cut a baby's penis off and ate it like a little sausage. So you can kind of break the game,
right?
But it gets better when that happens.
You don't really break the game completely. You break the like through the concept to make Alex say
yes
crazy things.
Or you put something else in there, you know, that's just like this is Steve and it was me who farted in the last round. We were all wondering it was me. I felt like this was the best way to admit it. So So that game, I feel like it's the same concept.
Right.
And then Cards Against Humanity makes it easier for everyone to play. Because if you don't, if you're just someone who's like, I can't think of a thing, then okay. So this year, Cards Against Humanity is sort of thing they're doing is called the Cards Against Humanity Holiday Hole. They have a website where you can watch a, you know, tractor backhoe thing just digging a hole. To celebrate Black Friday, the holidays are here and everything in America is going really well. To celebrate Black Friday, Cards Against Humanity is digging a tremendous hole in the earth. As long as money keeps coming in, we'll keep digging. So you can donate. You know, it's got $5, $10, $15, or you can do other. You fill out a little thing, whatever. So far, they have 13 hours and 21 minutes of dig time remaining. And they've raised a total of $90,328. And so, you know, it's got a little graph of the donations, when they peaked and whatnot. It's got the top donors here. So a couple people donated, you know, someone donated. I like that fourth place is $666.
Of course.
Then you've got $1,001.
Right.
Then $1,002. And then $1,003.
It looks like some of the, you know, I don't want to give any free advertising to these people.
No, it's fine.
But basically, like, the top three look like they are some kind of advertisement, basically.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's basically, yeah, it's like somebody's website where they just wanted to put it up there for like $1,000.
Yeah, and then you'll go to, you know, one of them is tacticalgear.com. One of them is seducejuice.com. I'm not going to go to the website, but I'll just type it in and see what it, you know, see what it looks like. It's a purveyor of artisan e-liquids or e-juice. Is that like a tobacco shit?
I guess. Yeah,
basically,
that's
like
what it looks
for
like.
Vaping or something? Okay. Anyway, so they're digging this hole.
Yeah.
And they have an FAQ. Now, I love that this is happening. I like a pointless project. I also wanted to bring this up because I saw what I thought was a very hilarious, I assumed to be sort of right-wing take on it.
It's a hot take.
Yeah, which wasn't incorrect factually, right. But seemed odd. Where he was like, yeah, I donated to this. You know why? Because that's giving, you know, there's an American driving those trucks, and this is giving an American a job for, you know, with a decent wage for as many hours as, you know, it goes. $1 donated from text boobs 425-330-5417. So if you want to text your boobs to that number, they have like a little crawl.
At the bottom. So do you think that person gets to see any boobs?
I don't know. $1, text 30-year-old virgin 425-330-5417 in boys or girls. Okay, so they're digging the hole.
Right.
And, you know, the graph is like money thrown in the hole, basically admitting that it's a complete waste. Now, you said you had some questions or concerns. Now, there's an FAQ.
Let's go through the FAQ, because maybe it will answer my questions and concerns.
What's happening here? Cards Against Humanity is digging a holiday hole.
Right.
Is this real? Unfortunately, it is. Where is the hole? America and in our hearts. Is there some sort of deeper meaning or purpose to the hole? No. What do I get for contributing money to the hole? A deeper hole. What else are you going to buy? An iPod? Now, this is, I think this is the important question right here. Why aren't you giving all this money to charity? And when I saw, you know, I first saw this on the Facebook, you know, how it's got like three stories off to the side. And I was like, well, I don't really care about Catherine Zeta-Jones's butt. I think we all know where
how
that...
How do you not care about
Catherine
Zeta-Jones?
Because we all know where that peaked. And it was in the trailer for the movie Entrapment as she was going under a laser wire in tight pants.
What if there's a sequel? Entrapment 2.
There's not.
Entrapped harder.
I couldn't be any entrapped harder.
Well, now you'll never know because you never clicked on that link in the side of Facebook.
Oh, I clicked on it.
You had to check.
It was disappointing.
You still had to check. I mean, it was just enough where you had to be like, I need to know where her butt is going.
Well, okay. Apparently, let's just do this then.
Right.
Let's just. So she put up a picture of her butt because I guess she was on vacation and paparazzi were taking pictures of her. So she was like, here's a close up. So, you know, because that's better or something.
Right.
And everyone's like, she's old and she still looks great. But she was, like, horribly backlit and whatever, and I was like, I don't know. Not a great picture. Anyway.
It's sort of like she did that to undercut the paparazzi, to be like, here's a picture of my butt.
I guess so.
You know.
If this is what you guys all wanted, here it is. Right. Now leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Here's the point. Usually those stories on the side of Facebook are totally fucking worthless, and right. I hate them. This time I was happy about it, because I found out about this, and then also I got to read comments people were making about it. Let's see if it's still on here. Oh, Rosie O'Donnell's here. She's suggesting that one of Trump's kids is autistic. Okay. Why would I care about that, possibly? How can I see more of these? If I click on this one, does it give me more? How does Facebook work?
This is now the old person cast.
Yeah, I'm like, what do I do for Facebook?
Oh my God.
Oh, maybe if I go into politics.
I was hooking up Mom's new Roku today.
Oh, nice.
And that was kind of the day of like, where does this menu go? How do I get this channel? When I search, what is it looking for?
Here you go, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Like sometimes like, these are just like existential questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're looking for.
What do I want out of life? Like,
what if I want to, you know, what do I want to watch? The Roku doesn't help you with that. It just tells you what there is.
Can I just search Holiday Hole?
There you go.
And then okay. Someone in Spanish, I can't read it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I saw somebody on here who was like, we did a 5K for charity and we didn't, you know, we only raised like $8,000 and these fuckers are raising like $90,000. That's fucked up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so some people are pissed off. Some people are like mad. And I think that's what's interesting to me. Okay, like, it would be interesting to get a profile of the people donating money for this hole in the ground, their education level, age, who they voted for. Ah, the hope for our future. Fuck you.
I mean, part of it is, like, my first reaction looking at this is thinking, like, it is a colossal waste of money.
Yes.
And I think that is the point. It is a colossal waste of money.
Right.
There are lots of things that are not quite colossal wastes of money. And in some ways, this is not as bad as some other things, because like I was at the indie art show today.
Okay.
You know, and this is the kind of thing where, for those of you who don't know, it's like a lot of small people who make little crafts.
They're
try to turn it into a business.
What we would formally call dwarves or
dwarves, perhaps elves.
Dwarf crafts.
And dwarf crafts.
World of dwarf crafts.
But it's the kind of thing that I realize I go to this almost every year. And I wander around and I realize that everyone there is a middle-aged woman.
Oh, well, everyone shopping there.
Everyone shopping there, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then almost everyone selling something is a young or middle-aged woman.
Yes.
And I wander around because it's basically all knickknacks.
Yeah.
Like there's ornaments,
knickknacks, paddy scarves,
wax,
spoon rests.
Leather goods. No leather goods.
Oh.
Artisanal soaps and candles.
Oh my God. Artisanal soaps.
Yes.
Everyone wants to get into this soap business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at what point is someone going to, I need to write this down. I've been considering expanding my podcast offerings. And one of those would be my sort of fireside Mayor of America chats. And one of those chats would need to be about declaring that we have a limited need for soap variety. Mm-hmm. And we have crested that need. We are well beyond the need for different kinds of soap at this point.
We really have like soap to wash your hands.
Yes.
Soap to wash dishes.
Well, and just talking about body soap.
Okay. So you really need,
like... We already have plenty.
You really need, like, a little bit of soap to wash your hands.
Yeah.
You need some Castile soap, because that's nice stuff.
Okay.
And basically, you don't really need anything else. Well, honestly, with, like, a big jar, like, a big bottle of Castile soap, you don't really need another kind of soap. That takes care of pretty much everything.
Also, I'm not going to go, you know... Indie Arts Show comes but once a year,
right.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Target... And Irish Spring is every day.
It's the kind of thing, like, Target sells a bunch of shitty knickknacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see those in I've seen those in people's apartments and things, and I'm like, that's a Target knickknack. Why did you buy this?
Okay.
And it's the sort of people want something artistic in their apartments, but they don't want to take a risk in any meaningful way. And they're like, well, that's cute. I kind of want it.
I think you're going too deep on what I'm saying here.
Right.
I'm just saying I'm not going to pay like $4.50 for a bar of soap. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's not happening.
At some point, it's just not worth it to you.
Yeah. At some point being way before $4.50. Right. I mean, maybe if I had developed some kind of allergy to something, mm-hmm. at some point I will be like, okay.
The only way you could maintain an erection is if you smelled lavender and chamomile.
Then I'd have to go to one of these indie arts shows.
Right.
I know what you're saying. What you were saying. I just think it was separate from what I was saying.
But I go to this thing, and there's sort of an idea of like, well, even if you don't really like this stuff, you know, you get something out of it. Like, one of the things I almost bought, because I thought it was a card,
okay.
was this print.
Okay.
And at first I thought, like, oh, I'll get some cards that I can send out to people.
Against
like
humanity.
Yeah. I have a friend who, like, just went, it got his colon removed or part of his colon removed.
Okay.
And so I thought, like, I'd get him a card.
Yeah.
Seems like a good thing to do. And I was going up there and I was like, oh, these prints are like $30 each and they're the size of a greeting card.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, no, I can't. I thought these were greeting cards. I can't spend $60 on these. But they were like little wood prints where I get the idea of like a wood print. It's hard to carve out the little wood print at first.
Sure.
But once you've made it, it's like making stamps, isn't it?
Like, I don't know.
Like, it can't be that hard. You're not carving a brand new thing. Like, you don't carve the whole thing out.
Yeah.
Make one print and then throw the thing away.
Well, and here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe in materials and times or time, it is worth, you know, maybe that's a good price.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter because I'm not going to pay it.
It's way, way more than I want to pay. But, and there's the idea of like, well
you know, whoever gets it isn't going to fucking know it was $30.
Right.
You're like, can you put a conspicuous price stamped into it as well? Because mm-hmm. I want them to know I spent 30. Because
I want you to know how much I spent on this.
Well, whenever I go to something like that, and then I like see something like that, and I'm like, this is cute, and then it's $30, I'm like, I think I could, if I was planning to spend $30 on this person, I think I could go a lot of directions here that would be better.
Right. And there's the idea when you get these little knickknacks and things, like you're saying, well, I spent my money on a good, so it's worthwhile, but...
Sure.
Knickknacks are, you know, and you have an apartment with knickknacks in it.
I have knickknacks.
You have them, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But knickknacks, at some point, you're like, you know, I don't really need this anymore. Or I don't really have a use for it. So it's a useless thing.
My knickknacks, you'll notice, are kind of sequestered mostly to this one shelf in front of us, these cabinets.
And I
guess... So once, you know, when the knickknacks grow beyond their space... Mm-hmm. Then something's got to go.
And I think when I look at Cards Against Humanity, my first reaction is the, like, why aren't they spending their money on something better? This is them just really throwing their money down a hole.
Yeah.
We all know the best thing they someone could probably do with their money is not spend it.
Right.
Like, that's usually, unless you've got, like, the right idea or right cause, if you're always, it's very rare where saving money is the wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know, and... I would basically say almost everyone who spent money in this case probably would have been better off saving it, but...
Sure. Well, okay.
They spent it on something stupid.
Why aren't you giving this money to charity? Their answer is, why aren't you giving all this money to charity? It's your money.
And I could see if you ran a charity and you were frustrated with the fact that, like, a bunch of idiots are willing to spend, like, $1,000 to get, you know, like, it's sort of like if you had the same, that charity fun run, you know... Maybe you wouldn't, but then maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable. Like, you wouldn't take tacticalgear.com's money and put it on the back of every t-shirt.
Well, I think it's just a false thing because basically, like, that's like me saying, like, they've raised $90,000. Like, I could live off that for 3 years. I could pay my student loan, you know, but I didn't do it.
It's something you said in the past of, like, when you work in the library sciences.
Yeah.
It's like when people get mad that there are DVDs in the library and expecting everybody to read classic books.
Right.
where it's a little bit of, you know what you could do if you're mad that people aren't donating to charity? You donate to charity.
Exactly.
And then you don't, then you can walk around with at least the smug satisfaction of having done the smarter thing than someone else.
Yeah, and I also think, like, you know, okay, the problem is, like, people look and they're like, $90,000, that's right. Such a, but who has not wasted $5 in the last week? Can you look at last week and be like, I have not wasted $5?
I would say I got a burrito at an airport, and that's a waste of money.
That was probably a waste of like $12.
Yeah, like anytime.
You bought a burrito, and you bought a vegetarian burrito.
Right.
Specifically because you didn't trust the meat at yes. the airport.
Yes.
That's how much faith you had in this burrito when you purchased it, mm-hmm. and really tells you everything you need to know.
And I bought the vegetarian burrito because, like, the pizzas nearby were $18 or $20. Right. And I'm like, no, that is not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'd say, yeah, I have wasted that much money in not that long ago.
I would say most people have.
Right.
So I do feel a little bit like, you know what? I mean, people spend $5 the dumbest of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the dumbest way you can spend $5? I don't think so.
I'm trying to come up with things that are definitely dumber. I would say it's the knickknack you don't want.
Yeah, because then you have a thing.
Right.
Then you just got to throw it in a hole.
Uh-huh. Let me think. I would say it's a hot dog from a suspicious food cart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like where you say, I know this is a bad hot... Maybe dumber still, like a hot dog from a food cart where you bought a hot dog before and you got sick.
Yeah.
If you had previously gotten sick from that hot dog and then you purchased another hot dog from the same cart,
right,
that would be a dumber purchase.
I mean, is this, okay, is it any more a waste of money to spend $5 on this than to buy a Bud Light in a bar?
I'd probably spend money on this over the Bud Light in the bar.
There you go.
Like, I mean, I would say, because at least with this, I could be like, I spent the money and I'm done.
Right.
Bud Light in the bar, then I'm like, I'm committed to drinking this thing I don't want.
Yes.
I'm committed to watching whatever's on the TV.
Yeah.
You're
killing time.
Right.
Like, how is that any different?
Where I've realized, like, one of the things I'm looking for in life, and I think I found in a couple places, is a bar without a television.
Yeah. The one down the street from us did not have one for a long time, mm-hmm. and now they have two.
They have three.
Well, they have like a giant screen and then they have like a TV behind the bar.
Yeah. And I just like, and most of the time when I go into bars now, it's not even showing. Like, I get it if it's showing like a sporting event.
Sure. Like, or you go into one of those bars where they're showing like some crazy movie that Tarantino probably likes,
right,
but with no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where they're showing that just for aesthetics. Or like if you're showing like there's a big sports event on. But most of the time now I go in and they're not even showing like the American Ninja Warrior thing.
Yeah.
Which is like Wipeout, but not as much fun to watch.
Well, like, I don't even like going in and they're showing sports, to be honest.
Right.
Because I'm like, hey, if I wanted that, I would stay home. You know, or most people would.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel very little sympathy for the people who've created a life for themselves where they're like, I want to watch a football game and I cannot do so at home in peace. So I have to go somewhere else and then, you know, sit there and watch a football game.
Yeah,
it
seems like you could either get your man cave or work it out with your spouse or just don't get married.
Well, yeah, you've created this hellish life for yourself and then your escape is like, I'm going to go watch football for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Good life. I don't like that being inflicted on everyone else.
Maybe I think there are probably a lot of people where they use that as an excuse so that they're drunk.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a way of like it's a way for them to deny to others and to themselves that like they just really want to drink.
Yeah, but then why would you go somewhere? Mm. You wouldn't need to, you know, you could spend half as much money doing it at home.
It's the social cover. You don't want someone to find out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I just think it's like I'm with you. I don't like the TV in the bar. I don't think it's necessary.
I wouldn't mind like some bars if they had like one TV, like it was in the corner. Like if you wanted to watch TV, you went and sat over there.
Yeah. I think you could get by on a bar where you'd be like, fuck your TV.
Mm-hmm.
If I made a bar, not only would it not have a TV in it, but it would have like some kind of electromagnetic field so people's phones didn't work either.
There's one coffee shop near, like, you know, not too far away from where I live, where they don't have a Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
They just decided not to have Wi-Fi, not to have TV, not to have anything. The only problem I have with that coffee shop is that they play their music really loud.
Yeah.
Where I feel like that's worse to me than Wi-Fi, because they had this whole... I think the thing that actually makes it the worst is they have this whole placard thing explaining why, where it's like the... We want to revive the lost art of conversation.
Yeah, no, see, I don't like that.
I don't mind if you don't have those things.
Right.
But if you want to be smug about it.
Yeah.
And then you also have, I mean, the worst part is that they're smug about it and then they have blaring music.
I've been to two places like this.
And it's like...
It was like this super shitty, smug, asshole place. Mm-hmm. And I was using my laptop. So they have this like little bar area next to the window. Mm-hmm. And, you know... I was sitting there, I was just typing on my laptop, and they were like, this is actually a no laptop area. And she's like, there's a sign. The sign is like 8 feet in the air because there's a big window and then it's on top of the window. And the sign is like the size of like your average photograph, like your 4x6 photo in a frame. And I was like, okay, how the fuck was I supposed to know that? Also, the place is almost empty.
Right.
And then, you know, there's an entire huge table of people on their laptops, but they're like this one spot. I get the purpose because they're like, well, we want to have somewhere for people to just sit for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, but I was just like, fuck you. And I just left. Mm-hmm. But then there's another place I went to where what they do is during the day, it's a coffee shop. And then at night it's kind of a bar.
Okay.
But what they do is like at a certain point, you're not allowed to have a computer there, period. Like they're like no laptops after this time because they want to revive the lost art of conversation. And I'm like, I think you can say, like, you know, we don't have Wi-Fi after this time, right? That's fair. You can be like, we don't have any... Here's what you do. You just create the parameters through the way you set things up. So you don't have Wi-Fi. You don't have anywhere to plug in. And then all of a sudden it's like, this isn't the best place to be on a laptop. But I just didn't like... I didn't like that they're sort of, you know, what if I don't have friends? Mm-hmm. What if I'm an asshole? And it's like, look, no one wants to talk to me anyway.
Right.
And I don't really want to talk to anybody right now. You know, for all you know, my dad died yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you should talk to people more. And it's like, fuck off.
Or it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people who come into those types of places who normally have a home office. They just want to come in. They want to be around people.
Right.
And so they want to be more sociable than they normally are.
Yeah.
It's sort of like it's setting the terms of what sociability is.
Yeah. Well, and I would like to speak as somebody who, you know, has had very loud, obnoxious neighbors in the past.
Right.
And has lived in apartments his entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, when someone says, I don't understand why someone would work at a coffee shop, I'd be like, well, you've probably never had a neighbor who plays the trumpet super loud for like 2 fucking hours on a Sunday.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've probably never lived somewhere where... every other day there's like loud bass coming through the walls of your home. Mm-hmm. Like you've probably never lived somewhere where you're not in control of the environment. Right. And so it's like, yeah, this is a more pleasant environment because you know what? No one's sitting there playing their trumpet.
Right.
Nobody's playing super loud music. I mean, it's just,
it's if you want to revive the lost art of conversation, start at home and maybe start like by living in a place where you're surrounded by other people.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Do it there. You know, you don't have to do it through your business. Or if, like you said, if you want to do it through your business, just make your business unamenable to laptops generally.
Yeah. Right. Just make it so it doesn't work well.
Right.
But I don't like the idea of like, force, you know, we've made a rule here that there are no laptops allowed in this part of place.
I mean, the easiest thing you can do is make a bunch of seating that's not friendly for typing but friendly for reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, well, like that's all, and that's, you just buy the right chairs.
Yeah.
And the right tables.
Right.
And then bam, it takes care of itself. Even if you have Wi-Fi.
And here's the other thing about it, like I think that you just can't help but feel when someone tells you this that they're being like a hipster asshole.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That they're just being like, actually, we don't allow that here because we're trying to revive the lost art of conversation. And you're like, okay. And here's the real problem, I think. I can't imagine most people, when they tell them that, Do you think most people close up their computer and then sit there and then just kind of look around? If I ever go to a place like that and that happens again, that is right. exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to close my laptop, clap my hands, just look around the room and be like, okay.
So
I mean, who's talking to me right now?
Maybe just start shout out a topic. Be like, yeah. All right, lost all the conversation. So, Donald Trump, great president or greatest president? What do you think?
Let's divide the room.
Yeah.
Let's go around Lincoln Douglas style.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got way off track. But the point is...
We're talking about a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
So we got out of the hole, and now we're back in the hole.
They had a couple more.
In a hole.
Is the hole bad for the environment? No. How am I supposed to feel about this? You're supposed to think it's funny. You might not get it for a while, but sometime next year, you'll chuckle quietly to yourself and remember all this business about the hole. How deep can you make it? As long as you keep spinning, we'll keep digging. What if you dig so deep you hit hot magma? At least we'd feel something.
Mm.
So there you go. I like it, and let me tell you why. I have long been a big proponent of...
holes.
Holes. All access to all holes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like basically when somebody does something unusual.
All access. Like,
I think, you know, most people...
Mostly your nose.
Most people see things like this as a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need unusual things in their life. And I don't think most of us have unusual things in our life. And it seems kind of like frivolous or something, but at the same time, it's like, I think we all need that sort of reality check of people are going to end up donating $100,000 to dig up as much hole as can be dug for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's kind of a reality check of like, this is the world we live in. People will pay that much.
It's the kind of thing that there are definitely some people who will be upset.
Yeah.
And I can't always fault them where they're saying like, we break our backs trying to raise money for cause X.
Sure.
And these idiots just get $90,000 for a hole.
Sure.
I'm not saying that, you know, they should be mad at the Cards Against Humanity people. They should be mad when basically, and this is probably what I might think of some of these people. Like, it's the sort of, you know, we all waste $5 every now and then. We all waste $10 or $15. Like, hopefully all of these people, and I didn't call them assholes here.
Okay.
But if someone, you know, the next time their office charity drive comes around, they're like, ooh, I don't have $5 to spend on that. That's now a shitty excuse. You had $5 for the hole. You can say you don't want to spend $5 on the thing. That's right. Fine.
Right.
You can say, I fuck your charity. That's right. Okay, too.
Yeah.
But if you say, I don't have $5.
Right.
You do.
Well, let me tell
you're
you
just not trying very hard.
What I think the problem is with these things.
Right.
These normal charity things. How many 5Ks, you know, how many times are we going to do this thing where it's like a 5K to raise money for something? And how much did you really expect to make from that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to raise money for something, you have to think a little bit, you have to do something different. Okay.
You have to do something that's cheap, you know.
You know what we did when we wanted to raise money because our mm-hmm. friend's dog had a surgery.
Right.
We ran a 0.005K, which was like 16 feet, mm-hmm. and it had a $5 entry fee. It takes no effort, right? That's what you want to do. You do a 0.005K, all of a sudden, anyone can play,
mm-hmm.
and everyone will spend $5 to do that. We actually raised way more than that because it's, you know, fun. Mm-hmm. You know what? We raised $125 for a donkey shelter.
That's
which
right.
was clearly one of the larger donations they've ever gotten because they email me like 3 times a week now. And by just doing a mini golf tournament. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I think that people like to bitch and moan that
right.
no one wants to donate to their thing. But you got to understand, like, I know your kid is sick or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know your kid. I don't know you. Like, you have to do something to make it stick out in my mind. I'm sorry that it's that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to be a dick. I'm not trying to say that I'm happy that things are that way, but I'm being pragmatic.
It is the thing why you still remember the ice bucket challenge.
Yes.
Years from now.
Yes.
where that totally worked. You know, people want to mock that all they want, but it completely, it raised a ton of money.
They raised a bunch of money. And more people know, you know, like if you had said ALS before then, no one would know that's Lou Gehrig's disease. No one had any fucking idea. Now people know. And it won't last forever.
No.
But it totally worked.
It was like, it won't last forever, but they raise more money now than they used to. Like their baseline is higher than it used to be because someone's like, you know what? I can do this.
Well, and that's a perfect example.
Right.
Because it's like, what does dumping a bucket of ice water on your head have to do with this? Nothing. Mm-hmm. But it makes for interesting content. It makes the world a more interesting place.
It's a genius idea because it says, if you can't send money, you have to contribute interesting content. If you can't contribute interesting content or money,
right,
then we'll go fuck yourself. You know? Like,
yeah.
You know.
Whatever. Then you're not involved.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I think stuff like this, I think if people are mad about this, I think it's because they don't have a real.
I'll say jealous view. Is fine. Jealous is fine. Like they can say they raised a bunch of money for something.
I mean, yeah, if you want to waste your time being jealous. And here's the other thing. I mean, you could do that all day. You can look at you can get on fucking Kickstarter and be like, how the hell did people raise this much money for this stupid thing? And then this other thing, you know.
This awesome thing gets almost no funding.
Yeah. And it's because people don't agree with you.
How dare you say Kickstarter stuff is stupid? I totally supported the Chuck Tingle adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a perfect example, too.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a good use of money?
Oh, it's not. Well, okay. Actually, it's the best use of money.
Right.
Because I want to be a true buckaroo. I'm going to have a coffee cup that says so.
Well, and this is the other thing, I think, like, you know, right now they're doing a United Way charity drive at my work.
Right.
And it's a jar for change,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, nobody has change anymore. Like, once a week I'll have change jingling around in my pocket. I went up to the jar because I was like, oh, I have some change. And then I was like, this is all quarters, and I do laundry with quarters, unlike probably most of the people I work with. So I was like, I can't do that. I mm-hmm. cannot give up quarters. I could give up that equivalent money or more.
Right.
But I couldn't give up that denomination of it.
It's the, if your washing machine took your credit card, then you can give up the quarters.
Yeah.
That also would just make your life better.
Then I wouldn't have any change, probably.
Right.
But, you know, that's like a completely, people aren't interested in it. There's nothing interesting about that.
There's a thing that actually I thought was a better way of dealing with charity donations, which came from the Indie Art Fair of all things.
Okay.
Where basically what they did is they said, like, they had their charity and said, hey, would you mind rounding up your thing to the nearest dollar and you give the rest to this charity?
Great.
So basically it's telling you to say, like, look, you know, you can, instead of paying $10.78, you pay $11 and then, you know, the other 20 some cents goes to charity.
Perfect.
People go, fine.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like, at that point, it's like it's pennies to them. It doesn't matter. It's no extra effort.
Right.
And no one's going to be like, no, fuck those kids.
Yeah,
fuck literacy.
Them. I do that sometimes, though, like at Lowe's or something.
Right.
They'll be like, do you want to round up for this? But that's because I don't really. I'm like, you know, I don't have time standing here right now to vet this charity
mm-hmm.
that you guys seem to like, but I'm not sure I'm buying it. Who paid for all these stupid balloons that I'm supposed to write my name on? These, like, paper balloons with kids in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if I buy this.
Yeah, but even then, it's like how you're sort of, when you're sitting there thinking about, like, I don't know what I want to do with this 20 cents.
Yeah.
You already wasted it. You might as well, like, you should just hit the button, yes or no.
Yeah.
Because the time you spend thinking about it is valuable, too. So, like, if you're going, I don't know, maybe, wrong answer.
Yeah, this is
just
something...
Just hit yes or no.
This is something I've been running into in life a lot lately,
mm-hmm.
is people who, for whom money has high value and time has no value. And this is like, not poor people.
Right.
Not people who I'm like, well, it's not an option. Mm-hmm. They, you know, whatever. It's people who it's just like, you're going to do hours of footwork to save $5. Let's just think about this for a second. Let's just consider what we're doing right now. It's kind of like, you know, for a while I was selling my old books on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
right? But I was like, all right, by the time I pay for the packaging and the shipping and send the book, I've made 75 cents. Not worth the effort. Like, it's just not worth it.
It's the sort of thing where you're almost better off putting them in the little free library.
Yeah, you way know, better.
Because that is no time. It is basically no effort.
Yeah.
The books will find a home.
Yes. Well, then I would buy a coffee and be like, that was like 2 hours of work for that. Then I just spent it that way. So that's not, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, right?
So maybe I want to maybe think about this thing in a different way.
Okay.
The waste is not the money, but the waste is that somebody had to go find this thing on Facebook or find this website, go to the website, and decide to donate money to it.
No, I don't think it's a waste.
Of time.
I think it's a spectacle.
Okay.
And I believe in spectacle.
However, we're watching this now without donating. So all these people, they're suckers.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's like...
It's like NPR, but not educational.
I think you can look at it like, I mean, I think the way I look at it, right, as a fan of spectacle, mm-hmm, and as a, you know, skeptic in so many ways, I mean, you could look at like election the same way. Everyone who campaigned and, you know, tweeted and whatever for Hillary, and what did they get? Nothing. You know what I mean? It's not like she kind of gets the election. She lost. And so now it's like all that's gone. So I think it's kind of like, you know, that's their spectacle. This is a different kind of spectacle.
This was the same weekend where Jill Stein raised like $4 million to do a recount in like one state.
Yeah.
Or a couple states.
Yeah.
So
I read about that, though. That looks legit to me.
That's at least...
Because they have to... They should said how much the fees are, mm-hmm, for the recount, and they're like super expensive.
It's the kind of thing where I was a little suspicious for a while, because once they raised the money, then they kind of like did the stretch goal with being a little unclear of how they would spend the extra money.
Sure.
But, you know, and a lot of it is like saying like, look, we don't think it's going to change the outcome of the election.
Right.
But it's about saying, you know, and to me, it's almost like doing good civic work of saying like, we want to make sure that people's votes are counted properly. You know, we want to make sure stuff works.
This is why I believe in the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're into like this shit. Like, I think they're, you know, on her website, she talks a lot about ranked voting.
Right.
And how she's a big believer in that, because that eliminates the possibility of a spoiler effect. And so, you know, and I think they genuinely want that in the Green Party. But, you know, anyway, this is a lot of dumb shit that doesn't
matter. Well, we're watching a hole being dug.
Yeah.
And you can watch a hole being dug, maybe, if it's still going on.
Holidayhole.com.
Yeah, like, see if it's still going on by the time you get this show, because I don't know when this show could come out. It could be Christmas. They could be keeping this going. Do you think that they'll keep going if it rains or if it snows?
Yes.
Like, what if they're just digging this, like, in Florida or...
Yeah, I don't know where the hole is.
New Mexico or Arizona, like where it doesn't snow very much.
I assume they, you know, didn't tell anyone because it's like...
Then people would go.
Yeah, there'd be a bunch of people standing around. Although that would be great if there's a bunch of people.
Do you think that just like they have one... They just have like the one digging thing.
Yeah.
And then the one truck. Like,
I think they have two trucks. Because he fills one, it goes away, and then another one comes in.
Okay, so they have two dump trucks.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe next year they'll fill in the hole?
No.
That would be kind of, if you like the spectacle, why is the filling in the hole less spectacular than the digging it?
Because that's just putting things back the way they were. That's not spectacle.
It is like the true waste. It's a way to get revenge on all the people that you hated for digging the hole. Undo all of their work. That's what it's like to run an election.
I think that...
To spend a lot of money to have things be exactly the same.
That's like to say, you know, topical. What's the spectacle? An explosion, mm-hmm, or sweeping up after the explosion. Sweeping up is not a spectacle.
Pasting the thing back together, piece by piece.
Yeah, that's not a spectacle.
Mm. It's a stunt. This is a stunt.
Watching a house of cards fall... Or building a house of cards.
No, building the house of cards, that's a bad example.
I knew you were going to argue, but no, that's not a spectacle.
That has tension to it.
That doesn't mean it's a spectacle.
You're waiting for it to fall. It could fall at any time. When it falls, you're like, oh, it fell.
Normal NASCAR race or rollover crash race?
Oh, well, rollover crash race.
All right.
That's because NASCAR is loud and boring.
Yeah, spectacle. I don't know. Embrace spectacle. That's all I'm saying.
This is kind of soothing in its own way. Like the various cams they have on it.
You know,
I feel like I'm learning. You know what I feel like? I'm watching the slowest episode of Dirty Jobs ever.
It's pretty well filmed.
Yeah, like
I'll say they've got, you know, they've got like an in the cab. They've got one from a distance here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a slouch job. It's not like amazing, but it's not terrible.
They've got like they've got one camera set up on the digger.
Have one dump truck.
Yeah, because it looks like the digger is just kind of like slowly pawing around.
Yeah, he's just kind of waiting for the truck.
Like
to come
some kind
back.
Of mechanical cat in the dirt.
Oh, he's texting right now. I can see his phone.
Oh,
reflected in the glass. Or doing something on his phone, I should say. I can't tell what.
He's on speakerphone, it looks like.
Now,
he's calling somebody.
Do you think they'll reveal who was driving this, like which American hero was? Or do you think the guy doing this has any idea, you know what I mean? Or do you think he's just some construction guy and they're like, okay, we're going to pay you to dig a hole. And he's like, all right, how big of a hole? And they're like, well, what do you make an hour? And we're going to just keep paying you until that runs out. And he's like, all right, I would do that.
I think there's probably like every crew, like the entire crew here, they probably just like the idea of like, they're digging a hole. It's going to have no specifications.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're probably specifications like, look, keep digging it deeper. Don't fall into it.
But what I'm asking pretty much you all it is the guy who's driving this thing,
mm-hmm.
do you think, I mean, is he part of their crew or do you think he's just some guy?
I think he's just some guy.
Yeah. So do you think he gives a hot damn about the mission or do you think he's like, well, here's what I charge an hour and if they want to pay me for like 20 hours of work, I'll do it.
I think it's like, it's not.
And they don't care. It's not like he's going to damage something.
Right.
Easiest fucking 20, you know, he's like, I dig it out, I put it in the truck, and
my strong guess is that they probably found some land that's like a quarry or some kind of thing. Like, they didn't spend a whole, you know, who knows what kind of effort they spent on this. Like, they didn't, you know, this like to make sure there's no gas line or buried power line in the area.
I mean, it just looks like a dirt lot,
right?
You know, so there's probably nothing just nearby some dirt at lot. All. There's like, you can see some woods,
mm-hmm.
but. Fuck the place. I'm asking about the guy.
Oh, the guy probably, he probably doesn't care.
Yeah.
He likes that this is going to be a pretty low effort job.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, since there's no, like if it's just dig a hole.
Yeah.
Don't fall into it.
Right.
There's no worry about like any kind of specification. You know, like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's an easy, this is like for him, it's easy Christmas money.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Easy
like,
Christmas money.
If someone told me I could do some very easy aspect of my job,
right?
And they're like, "This is kind of a stunt we're mm-hmm. doing, and we just need you to do." I don't even know what it would be. They're like, "We just want you to sit and type on a okay. We want you to marathon podcast,
right?
And we're just going to keep paying you to do it as long as you know the money keeps rolling in." And I'd be, I don't think I would really care why, you know. I'd be like. How much are you going to pay me? And they're like $25 an hour. I'd be like, all right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Just your normal wage.
I mean, then I'd be boned though. Cause then when $90,000 came in, I'd be like, so I have to do this for like the next 8 months or something. Like, how does that work?
I mean, that's probably why they have something where like $5 is like 2 seconds of time.
Yeah. Oh, there's a bulldozer as well. That's what's going on.
They probably have to have it to push stuff around.
Say that's generally the use of a bulldozer.
not to say that I've been like we're construction experts, but mm-hmm. Do you think it's a bulldozer or it's an earth mover?
I don't know what the difference is.
Mm. We need somebody who knows about construction equipment.
One smashes.
Do we have
balls.
Like a 9-year-old boy who listens to this?
God, I hope not.
Can tell you about differences between various kinds of construction equipment.
Earth mover. Bulldozer.
Bulldozer. Do you think the Wikipedia article talks about the guy who reinforced the bulldozer with concrete and went on a rampage?
Oh, that was great. This is something from like a decade ago or something, but I don't know that an earth mover is actually like a thing. Like, I think an earth mover seems to be the designation for heavy equipment.
Now, wait, I'm looking at something from the Cards Against Humanity people, and I think they fucked up here.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at a picture of a thing that's an earth mover that looks like a giant buzzsaw. So go down. Why didn't they get that?
I don't know. Yeah, it's like just a huge...
If you wanted the spectacle, you would get this thing.
Yeah, it looks like a giant buzzsaw to just dig into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing has to cost like $1 billion, right?
It looks like some kind of Mad Max machine.
It looks like what the villain in Wild Wild West was probably working on next.
Right.
You know, some kind of crate. Oh, here's like a spider earth mover thing. Yeah, look at this thing. This has to be like in Russia or something, right? Bandito machines, is that?
Yeah, like it looks like it's made to destroy mountains.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on what exactly it's doing.
Oh, it's the kind of thing that makes the Green Party weep.
Let's see.
It probably runs entirely on like burn spotted owls.
It's called a bucket wheel excavator.
Germany.
Ah, that makes sense. Based on war machines they created in the past. I want to see it in action, not just fucking photos of it. Oh, there are buckets on the end of it. That's disappointing.
It's a bucket buzzsaw, though.
Yeah, it's like a giant buzzsaw with buckets on the end. So it just digs out a slit or something.
Oops.
Oh, it mashed up a bulldozer. Cool. Anyway. Okay. I had another thing.
It's another thing been other an than hour. Oh, man. This might be another two-parter or another two-hour episode.
An hour and 1 minute and 40-some seconds.
Oh, man. Long episodes.
So, someone donated a book to the library.
Okay.
And you may be familiar with the book called The Game, which I think, as I understood it, now, this is, I wasn't totally sure. Everyone I work with seemed very sure, although no one had read it. It's
this is how we do. No.
My memory of The Game.
No one remembers this early 2000s hip hop.
Vaguely.
Artist known as The Game.
Also The Game.
Right.
My memory of this book is that basically it's, so it's Neil Strauss, who is famous for writing The Dirt, where he followed Motley Crue around.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called Emergency, where he kind of followed around disaster preppers and stuff.
Right.
And then he wrote The Game, which I remember as being sort of a look at the world of pickup artists. However, my coworkers all insist that it is a manual for pickup artists.
See, I thought it was a manual as well.
And that's the thing. I was fairly certain that it was a, you know, inside look at pickup artists.
Mm-hmm.
But
it looks like you have a book that is heading toward the manual.
Well, see, this seems to be the manual that would have come with, you know, if The Game was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what it is. Master the Art of Attraction in 30 Days. And this has things to do. And I was like, I was tempted to bring this home and try these techniques on Poon Master Flex.
Okay.
And see what happened. And not tell her that I was doing this.
And since she doesn't listen to the show, this is still an option.
It is still an option, except once I started looking. Well, let's look at day one.
Day one.
Day one is evaluate yourself. I mean, maybe we can get through these in like real quick.
All right. Day one's evaluate the size of your penis.
So I have to write 1 to 2 sentences describing how you believe other people currently perceive you. You know, I have to do 2 sentences describing how you'd like to be perceived. This seems like a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But here's, okay, so I have a mission on this day, which is Operation Small Talk. I have to make small talk with 5 strangers today.
Well, obviously you have to find a place that doesn't have a TV or Wi-Fi, a laptop-free zone.
Right.
Really, that's what all of those places are. They're not really to revive the lost art of conversation. They're all pickup artist spaces.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be all dudes, right?
Yep.
So that's no interest to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I make regular conversation with strangers at work. Does that count?
Well, the book didn't say it doesn't. So.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I think it counts.
You know, this is all about doing different qualities of this. And like the second day, you're supposed to go and make conversation with 5 more strangers.
Okay.
But make sure you're making eye contact. Record their eye color in the book.
Well, all right. So you could still do that at work.
Okay. Day 3, I'm supposed to not shower or shave.
So
for some reason.
Like any other day.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's some kind of grooming thing. It says I'll know tomorrow. So day 4, hit the showers. So, you know, oh, I think you're supposed to be like, look, now I feel great. Oh, also, I'm supposed to look myself in the mirror and read the following to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You are amazing. People love you and respect you. You radiate charisma, charm, and grace. You stand out from everyone around you. Talking to you is a privilege, and you deserve the best the world has to offer. It's all there out there. It's all there out there waiting for you. And I'm supposed to read this as many times as it takes until I truly feel and embody it.
Hmm. Well, so they don't have you shower or shave for a day, so you feel perhaps dirtier than you normally do.
Yeah.
Me, I'm actually not a shower every day person.
Hmm.
I'm a shower every other day kind of person.
I sweat too much and mm-hmm. smell too bad. It's not an option. I just like this affirmation. Well, the affirmation is poorly written, first of all. So I'm not into that. It does have some hygiene things. Let's see. Change your hairstyle.
Okay.
Look through music and men's fashion magazines and find the haircut you'd most like to have. Ditch the glasses. Get contacts or laser surgery. Now, that I feel like is dated advice. Would you say that's accurate? I mean, glasses are definitely not the scarlet letter they once were.
Mm. Here's the thing, is I think that given the target audience for this book,
mm-hmm.
right, they're assuming people who are not probably fashion plates to begin with.
Mm, so they're assuming they have serial killer, child molester glasses.
Right. And so it's sort of assuming, like, look, when you're telling people, like, get a haircut, they're not saying, like, look at your hair, look at the shape of your head. They're saying, like, find a haircut in a magazine and get that.
I see.
They're
like, these people don't know what the fuck. If right. you bought this book mm-hmm. and you were like, I'm going to take this seriously,
right?
Chances are pretty good you do not know what kind of glasses you should be wearing.
Exactly. And so they're saying, you don't know what kind of frames to get, so don't bother.
That makes sense.
Somebody could get good frames. You can't.
Get a tan. The quickest and easiest way to do this is to get a spray tan at a tanning salon.
I think they're also trying to talk to people who are...
Pale nerds.
And so they're saying, like, be less of a pale nerd, where really the advice is go outside.
Yeah. Get a manicure and a pedicure. Go to any nail salon. It isn't necessary to get a colored polish. Just ask to get your nails buffed or request a clear top coat. I would probably pass on that.
Yeah, I think the overall advice is to say, like, you need to be more aware of your appearance than you are. Like, it's, yeah. you know, it's sort of making you take an extreme, but it's saying, like, take care of yourself a little bit.
It's like, okay. I want to skip to the end, because what this has in it is something
it's got a comic in it.
It has, like, a 2-page comic.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has, let's see, what are these called?
Actually, I want one day in between. Give me day 15. Like, so that way we're in the middle.
Okay.
So, because we've gotten, like, the idea of, like, you just talk to strangers and write down their eye color so you can collect their eyes later.
Okay.
And then don't shower. So what's day 15? Like, you've made a lot of progress.
Let's see. Day 13... Day 15. Today, you're going to learn one of the quickest ways to distinguish yourself from other men. Using this technique, you can very quickly enter the minds of strangers and tell them things even their best friends may not know. Turn to your day 15 briefing and read the primer on cold reading. How do I do that? Okay. So, most challengers fit a certain I don't know what a challenger is. Fit a certain personality profile known as the explorer. And chances are you're one of them. If so, the following analysis may apply. Okay, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't want to read. I don't want to do this.
I mean, the cold reading's the thing that those fake psychics do, right?
Oh, okay, is that what that is?
Yeah, like where they sort of sit around and say, like, you know, they give a vague notion of something where it's the like, oh, I'll bet you have a, you know, oh, I'll bet you look like you have a lot on your mind. It's like you get stressed out by something. Yeah, where it's basically, yeah.
Horoscope.
It's like, yeah, I'll bet you're stressed about something and you're, you know, maybe it's like a family member or a friend or something like that. And it's like, yes, how did you know?
Mm.
It's not because they actually know. It's because they sort of give vague guesses.
As the cold reading code says, remember the golden rule. Always tell the subject what he or she wants to hear.
Right.
I see. This is dumb. Okay.
So basically, this is the point where you've gone from, like, take care of yourself in the beginning of the book, which, listen, that's not terrible. Like, the book's advice is advice that you don't like.
Yeah.
But you're not saying, like, that the overall concept is bad, where it's like, you know what? Clean yourself up a little bit. Stop, you know, like, write down what you actually want in life.
Yeah.
You know, don't, if you start the first sentence of, like, what do you think of yourself, and you have a three-word thing that says piece of shit.
Right.
It's like, okay, maybe you need to, like, reevaluate something.
Well, and here was an argument I was making at work.
Right.
I was like, you know what? I've been to many a Comic-Con and seen a lot of, like, and this is not the Comic-Con of the current days.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, movies and whatnot. This is the Comic-Con in a Holiday Inn basement where the only thing there is comics for sale.
In long boxes.
No costumes, no, you know, celebrities, just you're buying comics. There, and, you know, I've also been part of like a 5K running subculture, which also attracts a lot of fucking weird nerds.
Right.
And would I say that this kind of advice would, okay, this kind of advice probably seems obvious to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think that someone from, you know, if somebody in one of those spots could be self-aware enough to be like, something is wrong, I need help. I don't think this, so far what I've read in here would not be harmful to them, would probably help them. Or, you know, I was thinking at work, what I was saying was like, if you were like, let's say on the autism spectrum.
Right.
I think some of this might help you because it's kind of like breaking down human behavior. You know what I mean? Like, why you and I, you don't have to tell me, hey, when you give someone a cold reading, only say positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to tell me why.
Right.
Because I get it. No one, you know, no one responds to like, well, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. And you don't seem very smart. You know what I mean? But somebody who maybe does not understand, someone who needs this book.
Right.
Probably doesn't understand those rules. So, like, I feel like this has this shitty stigma because it's, a you know, ostensibly about picking girls up or something to have sex with. But everything we've read so far just seems to be about talking to people.
It's about, like, so far, I mean, part of it is, like, the first few things are about talking to people, not being shy.
Yeah.
The cold reading part is where you start to cross over into manipulating people.
Is that manipulating?
I think that it is manipulative.
Okay.
Particularly in a way of saying, like, you tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Not what you genuinely think.
Because we never do that.
We never do that, but it's sort of like,
I would never tell someone something they want to hear as opposed to the truth. Every day on a microphone.
Exactly. Well, I think that some of it is that's where it starts. I'm not saying that is manipulating. It is starting to cross over into manipulation where you're trying to trick somebody a little bit.
This is my question,
right,
about this. So you're telling them what they want to hear. Does that person, though, how much are you manipulating them versus telling them what they want to, like, is telling someone what they want to hear manipulating them?
Well, as long as you're not lying, right? Well, I guess that's a different thing. Like, it's still, like, if you're lying, to them, that's not necessarily good. Like, you're telling them what they want to hear and you don't believe it to be true.
Okay, let's say I was using these techniques.
Right.
And I went out and I met this girl who I thought was like a, you know, as far as compatibility, attractiveness, the whole package, a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
And I told her that she was a 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bad? Is that manipulative?
Well, do you believe she's a 9 out of 10?
No.
But you're saying she's a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's what she wants to hear.
I mean, part of it is, do you have, so you're lying to her because she wants to hear that.
Yeah, I think so.
So why do you need her to hear what she wants to hear in the first place?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like,
so she'll, I guess so she'll like me. Is that how this works?
Mm-hmm.
I am so divorced from the idea of like what is happening here. This is the other thing.
Right.
I don't understand how this, like, where are these people going to do this? Who is picking up someone in a bar? Just a total stranger and just going up to them and then wooing them. And if you're wooing someone in a bar, are you really like, were they there? They just went out. They had no intention of being wooed. You know what I mean? Like, not that they had no intention, but when they left the house, they're like, there is no way I will be charmed tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or were they like, eh, we'll see what happens.
Maybe not a bar. I mean, I've met people at parties that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Party is not a bar.
Right.
Like, party is different because you have mutual acquaintances. You're kind of all stuck in the same place doing the same thing. I just don't know where these places are that people would be doing this ostensibly.
I mean, I guess that some of it is like, it doesn't have to be a bar. Like, this is just asking in any context.
But where would you do this?
Bookstore?
A bookstore?
I'm guessing. I'm not, I don't know either. Like a bookstore, coffee shop. Maybe you take a class or something and you're talking to somebody in between.
Okay, but let me ask you this question.
Okay.
How many friends do you know who started and maintained like long-term, healthy, good relationships? Someone they met, they did not know at all. They didn't have mutual friends, and they met at a public place just by chance.
Not that many.
Like every person I know who's with somebody,
right,
met them in school, they met them in a class, something like that. They met them through work, they met them through mutual friends is probably the most common.
Right.
I don't know anybody who's like, he walked up to me and started talking to me at a bar.
I guess this is also trying.
He started bothering me at the bookstore.
I mean, some of this feels a little bit like when you're looking at the cold reading kind of thing. It's the how to maintain a conversation.
Yeah.
And part of what makes it a little strange is it's not the, like, it's a way of telling people what they want. Like, it's telling people what they want to hear about the other person without ever saying anything about yourself.
It didn't say that.
And that's not what it says.
Yeah.
But that's what it leads to, right?
I don't know.
Because
I didn't want to read this whole thing.
Right. Cold like, reading is about, it says, like, tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And so we'd say, like, tell them what they want. Like, your example is tell them what they want to hear about themselves. It's like the 5 wants to hear that she's a 9.
Okay.
And that's okay. But if she wants to hear that you think she's really attractive and you don't.
Right.
Is that different to you?
Well, I don't think I would be trying to pick her up if I didn't think she was attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would I bother?
So why would, I mean, that's also why are you talking to the 5 in the first place if you didn't want to pick her up in the first, you know, to begin with?
I don't know.
I mean, my guess is that there's probably something earlier in the book that says, you know, don't try to pick up everybody.
Well, okay. Here's a better example.
Right.
I've known many people who date someone and they will tell this person or tell other people that, oh, this person's that I'm dating is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you meet the person and whatever, and you know, you're like, this person has good qualities. I'm not saying they don't have good qualities.
Right.
I'm not saying that this is a bad relationship. We both know this person is not a laugh riot. You know what I mean? cracking one joke every 2 months does not a Don Rickles make.
I have plenty of friends who've dated somebody who is significantly younger than they were, and they always want to say how smart she is.
Yeah, or mature.
Or mature, or whatever else. And then, you know, sometimes it's the look. If you could just be like, look, she's a bimbo. I like bimbos. What?
Well, and you can, you know, I think that there's like a, there's definitely a stigma against like, if you dated someone and you're like, I don't really care if they're smart. Or like, they don't have to be super smart for me. That's not, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, we have all these, there are certain qualities that are acceptable to say why you're dating somebody or attracted to somebody, and certain qualities that are not. Mm-hmm. You know, sense of humor.
Yeah.
Now, and that is important to me. I've discovered, because I will get bored otherwise. But you know, sense of humor isn't just about making jokes. It's about appreciating my sense of humor.
Well, that could also be like sometimes when you meet somebody and you can sort of, but that's also where you have to have your sense of humor, where you say, you know, I don't find this person funny,
yeah,
but I see how somebody else does. Like, it's not my joke, but it is a joke. Or it's not my humor. But,
yeah, I don't think that would work for me. I think that would be, I would just get tired of it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'd be like, I don't know, this person's making a lot. I would feel obligated to be like, that's very funny, even though I didn't think so. Mm. Anyway, I just think there are these qualities that, you know, we all pretend like these are the important qualities, but then we, you know, no one's ever like, let's see, number one, butt. Number two, left boob.
Right.
Number three, right boob. You know, it's just like, and here's another thing. Like, when you're talking about, when someone's dating someone that maybe they shouldn't be dating, they say these good qualities about a person that I don't think anyone would ever list because they would be a given. This person is very grown up for their age.
Right.
I wouldn't be like, what qualities do I look for in a mate? Someone who's very grown up for their age. Because I'd be like, well, no, I just think I would date someone who's within an acceptable age range and is their age.
It's kind of a version of, they're very calm for a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very nonviolent for a serial killer.
Yes. You know, or like...
That's not really a compliment. That's like covering up for a deficit in its own way. It's like the, well, you know, they can reach really high for a short person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I just, they're weird things that people will be, you know, or they'll say something like, I can't even think of another one.
Just went, probably a good time to get to the end of the book.
Yeah, okay, so let's do this. These are the openers.
Right.
So I wanted to see what you thought of these being, so basically I guess they're kind of conversational gambits.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you do. This is the two-part kiss opener. You. Hey, guys, we're having a little debate, need a quick take on something. Group. What's that? You. If a guy is dating a girl and she goes out to a bar with her friends one night and makes out with a guy just for fun, do you consider that cheating? Group. Yeah, it's cheating. You. Okay, that makes sense. So here's the real question, and I'll tell you why I'm asking in a second. If she goes out and gets drunk and makes out with a girl for fun, is it cheating? Group. The responses will vary, but if any guy says no, you can call attention to their double standard. You. Okay, interesting. The reason I'm asking is because my friend over there has been dating this girl, and she likes to go out and get drunk and make out with girls. Now, some guys might be into that, but it upsets him, and he thinks it's cheating. She says it isn't, so we thought we'd get an outside perspective on the situation. So this is, I guess, an opening conversational gambit you would make with a group.
Oh, man. So, like, you just walk up and propose this.
Well, okay, here's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Is, like, I think I could pull this off. Mm-hmm. Now, I would not say I follow the mantra of, like, you're a charismatic individual. Because that sounded like what fucking Hitler says to himself.
Right.
But I think in a bar, two beers in, I could be like, strangers, I have a question for you, because we're having a raging debate and we need more than two, because I think one thing, he thinks the other thing, and we're at a deadlock. So But then that question to me seems like kind of a stupid question.
Yeah, like I have had plenty of bar conversations that were about stupid questions.
Yeah.
But nothing like that, you know, nothing where you're like walking up to like, hey dudes, let's have a debate.
Right. Also, I guess maybe I'm closed-minded, but I'm like, yeah, it's totally cheating either way. Like what, it's not a very good question. It's a closed-ended question.
Right.
Because it's just like, yes. Or you would be like, no.
Be like either no in both cases or yes in both cases.
I feel like the premise of this, like, settle a bet, you know, and then it doesn't go into like, settle a bet. My friend says you wouldn't give me a blowjob in the bathroom, you know, like, because that's kind of where I thought this was going. Okay. The love versus in love opener. You. Hey there. My friend and I need a female point of view on something. What do you think the difference is between love and being in love? He wants to know because her, or she wants to know because her boyfriend just broke up with her. He told her he loves her, but he's not in love with her. What's weird is that some girl made the exact same speech to another friend of hers recently, so we've been trying to figure out what the difference is exactly. And then they say, and then you say, I guess that makes sense, because I can give my best friend like a bear hug and say, I love you, man. But if I say I'm in love with you, he'll probably freak out and punch me.
It's like, and like that there's a canned response no matter what the other person says.
Yeah.
That's where it starts to feel weird and manipulative, where it's like the don't listen to what they say. Just be like, oh, that's very interesting. Here is what I will say.
Yeah. I suppose.
Where it's not really, I mean, this is the end of the book, so it hasn't really taught you like listening skills. It goes back to sort of your
recipe. I don't know what it's taught or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but maybe it goes back to your sort of like recipe for autistic person.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Well, this is exactly what I'm talking about, is I'm like, this seems dumb to me. Like, it seems like a dumb idea to be like, you have to tell someone how to have an opening conversational gambit. However, that's not an issue for me.
Right.
But it's not because I'm some expert at it. It's because I have so little pride.
Right.
That, you know,
just like it doesn't
bother me to talk to a stranger, really. I have no desire to.
That's the other part. That's the other half of it, where you're like, I don't really want to do this thing.
That's what's so baffling to me about this whole thing, and probably, you know, where my disease comes in. Because it's just like, why would you want to create more people to talk to in your life? That just seems like a hassle.
I mean, it's...
My book would be... what's the opposite of a game?
The struggle.
The struggle. Right. Mein Kampf, if you will. would just be about like making, you know, saying like, you know what? You don't have a lot of friends, and here's all the things that you don't have to do because you have no friends.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go to weddings. Weddings are dumb, and here's why. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to move a couch.
You have never moved a couch for anyone.
Right.
You have never had to clean your apartment because someone was coming over. You know, all these things that I'd be like, I think you should just like accept that there are some pros to your lifestyle and move on.
You can focus on single player games instead of multiplayer games.
Now, this gambit is called the Albino Gary Coleman opener.
All right.
You. Hey, I'm about to meet a friend here, but before he arrives, I need some quick advice from him that you'll probably know. Her, what's that? You. His girlfriend recently broke up with him, and tonight is his first night out after recovering from it. He wanted us to give him some advice on meeting women, but you seem like more of an expert. So out of curiosity, while we wait for him, what do you think is the number one thing that women look for in a guy? She says, sense of humor or whatever. And you say, okay, sadly, he has no sense of humor or whatever. Is there anything else that women look for in a guy? Maybe he's really rich or whatever? Well, he's not rich either. In fact, he just lost his job at Taco Bell. Well, if he's not funny and he doesn't have a job, I wouldn't date him. What if he's the best-looking guy you've seen in your life? Or he's the smartest person on the planet? Or he's amazing in bed? There has to be something else. I guess if he was really intelligent or whatever, and I could learn a lot from him. Actually, he's not that intelligent either. Do you know Gary Coleman from that show Different Strokes? If you don't think she'll recognize the name, feel free to use a different pint-sized actor like Mini-Me from Austin Powers movies. He's 5'1" and looks like an albino Gary Coleman, except he's not funny. She laughs. I don't think I'd ever date him. You. That's okay. You're not his type anyway. Just kidding. Thanks for the awesome advice. You should totally have your own radio talk show or something.
I mean, there's just like a whole bunch of little compliments peppered in all over the place.
I should write my own openers based on my life.
Oh, boy.
Go in a robe with nothing underneath. Mm-hmm. Start jacking off and say, you want to be on a podcast?
I have a radio show. It's just like, would you like to be on my radio show?
Oh, God. Okay. The spells opener. Do you think spells work like magic spells? I know. Okay. Here's what I think we should do. You be the lady.
All right.
And let's see if the predicted responses make sense, you know. But don't try and be wacky.
Okay.
Just, you know, if someone came up to you, imagine a lady is coming up to you and saying this.
So a woman's coming up to me and saying this.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you think spells work like magic spells? I know it's an unusual question, but I'll tell you why I'm asking in a second.
No, I don't really think magic works.
Okay. Well, you see, my friend, he just moved here, and he met a girl at a club, and he wasn't interested in her sexually because she wasn't really his type, but she came over to his house a couple nights later to watch a movie, and nothing happened, and really, nothing happened. Anyway, after she left, he was cleaning, and he lifted up his sofa cushion, and he found a corroded metal ring underneath with a scroll inside and some feathers or something, so he unrolled the scroll and called me, and I said there were some weird undecipherable letters on it. I told him it sounded like a magic spell, so he decided to bring it to this occult and spirituality type store where they sell like vials of what, dragon's blood or something, and this woman there said it was an attraction spell.
See, I would have probably walked away even just as like a normal person.
Yeah, and now the strange thing is he's suddenly finding himself attracted to her.
Okay.
Like he can't get her out of his mind. Sometimes he'll be walking down the street and an image of her surrounded by flowers will just pop into his head. So do you think it's the spell or just psychological?
It sounds like it's probably just psychological to me. I mean, how does someone know what's an attraction spell if no one can read any of these runes or rings or anything else? They just assume that it is. How do you know it even works? There's no, you know, evidence of it. I think it's just pure placebo.
I'm out of things to say, so thank you. Thanks for your opinions. You should have like a radio talk show or something.
So it doesn't have like an end gambit of like, what do you think? And then...
It just says, you say what you, it says, I think, ... and then go from there. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Let's try another one.
That was, I would have probably been walking away.
Now, this has a lower percent of effectiveness.
Okay. Oh, these have effectiveness percentages?
This is 87.5% success rate, which is still pretty good.
All right. What was the last one?
The last one was a... 88.6, so we're going down slightly.
That seems very high.
Okay. I have to ask, out of curiosity, what do you like better, cats or dogs?
Cats.
That's so funny. My friend was just telling me he could figure out whether someone was a cat or dog person based on their personality. I didn't believe him, but he says cat people tend to be more assertive and have stronger personalities and convictions, which is why they get a pet that's more feminine. He said it's a yin-yang thing. Dog people tend to be more shy and gentle, which is why they want a more masculine animal around to balance them. It kind of made sense, so I thought I'd see if he was right.
Okay.
Okay, so I point to someone and I'm like, "Who? What do you think those people are?"
Pussies.
Let's go find out.
Pussies.
What do you think of these openers?
Actually, that one had like one good element to it where it's like you have a project with this person together now.
Yeah.
That's really what seems to be the...
You get them on your team.
Yeah, exactly. Like you give them a sort of a... You have a mutual project. So I credit to that one. The magic spell one.
That one was crazy.
That one was too batshit insane and it has like a long monologue in it.
Well, just like, you know, it just seems a little bit...
Yeah. It's hard to really say like what these things are and who this is for. It's almost the why that poor autistic person who buys this book is going to believe this will work 87% of the time.
Now, I think that we should do a favor and come up with openers.
Okay.
That you think would be effective. I have one in mind.
Okay.
But I think you should go first.
So I have to come up with an opener.
Like if you were advising a friend.
All right.
You have a friend.
Okay.
I'll be your friend.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, friend.
I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know.
Hi, Cecily.
Yeah, this is Cecily.
Cecily.
The cat. That's how she talks. That's what her voice sounds like.
Listen, cat, you need to pick up some. You need to pick up some tomcats.
Okay.
Some gentle cats.
All right.
So we need an opener for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So have you heard about this hole in the ground?
Yes.
What have you heard about it?
That it's they're spending a lot of money on it. It's kind of funny.
Oh, so what do you think is funny about it?
That it's a hole.
And in the ground.
I mean, I dug a big hole once when I was a kid. This is kind of like that.
Oh, so you dug a big hole when you were a kid. Like, did you do that with, like, your siblings,
family? It was kind of for a body.
Oh, it was kind of for a body. Was it like a... You know, that's really interesting. You know, was it somebody you knew or somebody you didn't really know?
I like how you're still plowing forward at that point. You're like, oh, tell me more.
Well, I'm trying to make this as a genuine bit here.
So your Cards Against Humanity, you have, you know, you've spent, like, we spent an hour talking about it.
Right.
You spent an hour basically trying to come up with a deeper meaning for it.
Uh-huh.
And now you have.
Right.
Because you're like, for the rest of my life, I can be like, you hear about like a couple years ago when these guys were just digging a hole for no reason?
There could just be, that could be it. Maybe one of the Cards Against Humanity guys does have like a body he needs to bury.
Yeah.
And he made a giant hole.
I thought you were about to say, maybe he needs a good opening gambit.
Hey, yeah.
Or like if you needed I'm always looking for things to do. That when I have to do a work thing where they're like, tell two truths and one lie about yourself.
It seems like if you made Cards Against Humanity, your opening gambit would be like, listen, we work for Cards Against Humanity.
Well,
heard of it?
You wouldn't work there anymore.
Right.
There's no fucking way they're doing that at their meetings.
No.
Is there?
No, but you like your opening gambit, not at the meeting, like when you're out trying to pick people up.
Okay.
You know, hey, we work for Cards Against Humanity and we're working on some cards. So, you know, if you could tell us, you know, some of the filthiest things you could think of, that would really help us out.
Give me some crazy shit.
Right.
You just have a box of blank white. You know what? I have a box of blank white cards in my office. So that would be great.
Yeah.
Take that to a bar and you just sit there and you're like, you know, I got this thing. I got a thing from Cards Against Humanity. And for like every one they take, I get like 50 cents or something.
Right.
But so help me come up with some fucked up shit. That would be good. I like that.
See?
I like that as an opener.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like that's good because then, you know, as they tell you things, you could be evaluating, like, this person is not my speed.
Here. Right.
Okay, here's the one I came up with.
Okay.
You take this very book with you, and you have to be with a friend, right?
All right.
And you have to be looking at it and being, like, laughing and stuff. And then you go up to the person and you say, I have a question for you, because we found this book. Someone donated it to the library, right? And it's got these like opening gambits where you can like talk to somebody. I would like an opinion as a stranger in a bar, because that's kind of the scenario in here. Whether or not these would work for you,
right?
So how would you feel if like you know just picked out a couple and see what happened? There's a pretty good one about witchcraft in here. If you're interested, there's a, you know, are you a cat or a dog person? Some of that. Nothing crazy. Nothing sexual. Just, you know, these kind of opening talking things. I think that would be the one I'm suggesting.
It's kind of using the book against itself, which in a way is the book.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, it's repurposing, I'm going to call it. I'm being very green.
It's right reusing.
Yeah.
Jill Stein would be proud.
It's kind of like a DIY refurbishment of the game, of the rules of the game. You know,
the
and then you could go through and laugh about like, okay, I want you to repeat after me. I'm a great person. I deserve your respect, whatever that thing was. Can you just tape it up on the mirror, write it with lipstick or something?
Right.
I think you should do this. I think you could. I think you should do this. And then, you know, do it for the next, like, let's 3 months, 90 days.
Okay.
5 times a day. And then we'll meet back up here in 3 months and you tell me.
Tell me how it goes.
You probably won't even be here because you'll be like a billionaire mm-hmm. by then because you've become so assertive.
You've managed to assert yourself to the presidency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you go.
Yeah, that we went through the rules of the game.
Yeah, we'll close out instead of music with the sounds of a hole being happening. Dug. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, nice to be here.
And some long shows during your visits.
That's
it's always right. It's always a refreshing Ding. Refreshment. It's like a nice mellow yellow or a squirt.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to your heavier colas. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see you next time.
See you later.